I am deeply grateful to be able to come to your place of listening with this gospel broadcast. I had a very powerful allergic reaction to a new prescription the doctor put me on this past Thursday night. And my face swole up and my eyeball turned red and my nose was stopped up. My nose was swollen together. And I didn't get about 2.5 hours sleep Thursday night. And I said, Lord, if I'm going to be in that pulpit to give that message, you're going to have to perform a miracle. You're looking at a miracle. We will try to have one message today and invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. We'll begin reading with verse 23 and read on down through chapter 5 and verse 2. The title of our lesson comes from Matthew 5, 1, and when he was set. And when he was set. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23 to set the precedent, or set the stage for what this is all about. Matthew 4, 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So he was teaching, preaching, and healing. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with various diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with the devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy, and he healed them. You didn't have to be one of God's elect to be healed by Christ. There's a common grace that he has to all people. All you had to do to be healed by Christ was to be sick. And verse 25 of Matthew 4, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis. That word means the 10 cities. From Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and then we have the blesseds. We call them the Beatitudes. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ here. He was set. It is a glorious and marvelous thing to see this. Psalm 68 and verse number 17. Psalm 68 and verse number 17. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. He has ascended on high. This one that was set, here is the holy humanity of God sitting down among the peoples that he created. But dear soul, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He is very God of very God. But here he manifests himself as very man of very man. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 5 and verse number 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. The Jews only could count as high to 1,000, so they had to multiply it. Thousand thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So here we see him, dear soul. He is worthy of all blessing and praise and honor. And we see that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 19. The 22nd chapter of Luke and the 19th verse. I'm just showing you how Jesus Christ is very God. And it's an amazing thing that he sits down here as a physical human being among man. It's a wonderful thing for Jesus Christ to have come and sit among human beings. What a glory that is. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." So we understand and see that the Lord Jesus Christ came and presented himself as the bread of life to mankind. "This is my body." He became incarnate. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse number 28. What a blessed verse this is. We have looked at it many times. John chapter 16 and verse number 28. "I came forth from the Father. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He and the Father are one," he said. "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." But here we find him in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 1, sitting down and teaching humankind. What an amazing condescension it was. He was sitting in the presence of angels, sitting in the presence of eternal God Almighty. And in verse number 28 of John 16, number 1, "I came forth from the Father." That's his eternality. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." Second thing, "I came forth from the Father and am come into the world." That is his incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Again, "I leave the world." That is his ascension. "This same Jesus whom you have seen ascend shall so come in like manner." And a cloud received him out of their sight. So "I came forth from the Father," his eternality. "I came into the world," his incarnation. "Again, I leave the world." That's his ascension. "And then I go to the Father." And that's when the manhead went back into the Godhood of God. And there he sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So we see this is a marvelous, marvelous being, the eternal Son of God. He is very God of very God. "I and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Have I been so long with you, Philip, and thou hast not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." So we understand that this is a glorious thing to be able to read in Matthew chapter 5. And dear soul, I have read past it, read over it, read through it many, many, many times, getting to a place where I wanted to teach on and look at the Beatitudes, the Blesseds. But the Holy Spirit says, "Stop. This time I want you to concentrate on what you are reading." And he stopped me at these words and told me to bring them to you. "And when he was set," this is very God of very God, sitting among us. He condescends to men of low estate. Dear soul, And we see, excuse me, when I bring in air into my throat, it dries my throat and makes me cough. Thank the Lord for Brother Bob and Sister Brenda sending such good water so that I don't have to cough in your face anymore. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. Let's look at this voice. "In beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." This wasn't the beginning, as if there was nothing before this and this is where God and everything starts. No, God had always had been. God had always been. God always had been. And this is just the beginning when he started bringing forth creation, when he gave creation existence in distinction from himself. "In beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form, and the earth was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said," here is the voice of God going out over the darkened waters when there was nothing in existence. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, so here's the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 1. It says, and seeing the multitudes, he went into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, here is the mouth of God going out over the waters. Here is the voice of God going out to create that which did not previously exist. Look at Mark chapter 4. You'll see it very plainly here in Mark chapter 4. It's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ condescending to men of low estate and coming to the place to where he sits among his created order. And the next thing he does, he opens his mouth and teaches us. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He was with God. He was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 1. And he began again to teach by the sea. He began again to teach by the seaside. And there were gathered unto him a great multitude. Same thing you have in Matthew chapter 4 that we read. Great multitudes came to him from Syria, came to him beyond Jordan, came to him from Jerusalem and Judea. Huge amounts of people. And he separates himself from them and exalts himself, goes up into a mountain and teaches only his disciples. Mark 4:1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, by the sea. He's wholly harmless, separate from sinners, by the sea. And yet he comes to sit in the sea. He said, here I am dwelling among you. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, when he was set. When he was set down among humankind, he opened his mouth. God has sent us the Holy Lamb of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did you come to know the Lord? Well, I heard a man preach. That wasn't all there was to it. The Bible calls preaching the foolishness of preaching. Dear soul, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. It didn't happen by works. It happened by grace through the works that God gave you. You had to hear the Holy Spirit, not just that man preaching, but the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart while the man was preaching. Faith and truth never come from without. Confirmation of truth comes from without. What I say to you, dear soul, it is not received by you unless the Spirit of God is saying it to your heart. If I say it to your ear and the Holy Spirit does not say it to your heart, it's just the foolishness of preaching. He began again to teach by the sea, and there was gathered unto him great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, here, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sower, and so forth. So we see that he enters into a ship, leaves the multitude, goes out, and he becomes the voice on the waters. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness was upon all of our souls. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells you in Revelation chapter 17 that the many waters are the peoples and the masses that upon which the whore sits. So the waters represents lost mankind. And here comes God Almighty, the eternal voice, the voice that is God, the effectual voice, the voice that created everything. By faith we understand that the worlds were created by the Word of God. He just expressed it and it happened, and it was so. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit moves, and God said, and there was. That's the way it happened in your creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, not just a new creature. That's the 1611 King James word, but it means a new creation. We are created in Christ Jesus. And so he speaks to you, and Paul gives you an understanding that the light that shined into the darkness, he has shined into our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we are a created order, and he shows you how you were born again and quickened and made alive in how he created the world. So what he did in the world physically, that is to bespeak of how he saved you and how he went into the world and spoke his church into existence, spiritually speaking. So we see the multitudes were there. It says, we read you in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 through 25, great multitudes of people. Great multitudes of people. And then in chapter 5 and verse 1 of Matthew, it says, he saw the multitudes, so he left them. He went into a mountain, and when he was set in the mountain, his disciples came unto him, not the multitude. The multitude doesn't want to go up on the mountain. The multitude has no desire to go up on the mountain. When he went up on the mountain in his transfiguration, there were only Peter, James, and John, Moses, and Elijah. What was going on? You read the rest of that passage and you'll find that the rest of the disciples down there arguing about religion with the high priest and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So a man will get down in the lowlands and fuss and argue about religion, but those who are called of God and the elect of God and the spiritual ones will go up into the mountain. It says, seeing the multitudes, he went. He goes away from them, out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe. Only the great redeeming love of God made my Savior go. Dear soul, do you realize that Jesus Christ is very God, and he sat in the midst of myriads of angels, 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands of angels round about him. But now here he is, a lowly man, born of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. And he comes and he gets involved with man's diseases, filthy and vile and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was he. Glory to God. All glory to the Lamb of God forever. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ and invests himself in the diseased humanity and masses of humankind. But when he would teach them, when he would open his mouth and teach, he taught his disciples, but only after he left the multitudes. And seeing the multitudes, he went. Dear soul, do you realize how wonderful it is for you to have heard the gospel with an effectual hearing? Blessed are your ears, for righteous men and kings have desired to see and hear those things that you see and hear, but God didn't show them unto them. God is so glorious to us that Jesus Christ comes and sits among us. Look at Ezekiel chapter number 1. Going to take you into some deep waters. Going to take you into some waters, dear soul, of the old economy, the law having a shadow of things to come. Let's go back and look at the shadowy messages from the law of God. Now, you need to stay with me. I know I've started off fast and got into this thing immediately, but dear soul, I only have so much energy today, and I want to use it wisely. So I'll bring you quickly into the things of the Lord. Jesus Christ coming and seeing the multitudes, he went and went up into a mountain. He elevated himself, and his disciples coming to him. Are you coming to Jesus today? Are you elevating yourself? Have you divested yourself of all that the world has put into your mind this past week? And are you seeking the Lord while he may be found? Are you coming unto him in the holy mountain and desiring to hear his word? Ezekiel chapter 1. To get where we're going, let's start with verse 4. Ezekiel 1:4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind. You say you can't see the wind. Yeah, but you can feel the effect upon it, of it has upon you. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, his disciples were gathered together in one accord in one place, and suddenly there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind, the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and cloven tongues of fire sat upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind, Ezekiel 1:4, came out of the north, comes out of the heights of the glory, a great cloud, the glory of God, and a fire. Our God is a consuming fire, enfolding itself. No one can understand God but God himself. The fire was enfolding itself. If you have an understanding of God and perception of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, you better thank God every day that God manifests himself to you and allowed you to come to him. He left the multitudes, and seeing the multitudes, he went. He left them. There wasn't a single one of them ill anymore. None of them were sick anymore. None of them were diseased anymore. But when it comes to hearing the voice of God, he goes up into a mountain. This is different. There's so many people in religion that have been benefited by God. It's what the old schoolboys used to call common grace. There ain't nothing common about grace, but grace is shed upon people that God doesn't save. That's what they were talking about. There were common grace. There was a common grace. Everybody was healthy, but not everybody wanted to hear the voice of God. Seeing the multitudes, he went. Where? Up into a mountain. And when his disciples were coming to him, then he opened his mouth and taught them. Listen, here he is, the whirlwind, a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. Amber is the color of God's glory. Verse 5, Ezekiel 1:5. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. God created man because he would be glorified in man. God created man in God's image. What image did God have? At that time, he had no fingers and toes and mouth and nose. What was the image that he had? It was his concept of that which he would have himself to be manifest as. And there was a lamb as it had been slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8. And so God would see himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, holy and pure, sanctified in the flesh, but not flesh that glories in his presence. Going to the cross, Jesus said, Father, glorify me. Now the hour has come. The glory of God for the humankind, for the human flesh, is to go through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We glory in our tribulation. Know that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and spirits hope, and hope shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How did you get the love of God shed abroad in your heart? Tribulation. Father, glorify me. The hour has come. What hour? The hour of God's death. The most unique hour in the history of the world. Now the hour has come. Father, glorify thou me. And with the glory that I had with thee before the world was formed. Well, aren't you flesh? Yes. Well, your flesh cannot glory in my presence. Well, how are we going to get the flesh to be able to glory in the presence of God? He goes to the cross. How horrible was the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even though he was the holy humanity of God Almighty, for that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Highest. How shall this thing be, seeing I know not of man, born of woman, but not of humankind? How is he going to get back to God? He is going to have to go through the cross. The cross is the great filtering agent that allows mankind in his humanity to be able to be glorified. Dear soul, glory is the only presence that can sustain eternality. Did you hear that? Where was God before there was, let there be? Where was God before there was anything created? Not even an angel, not atmosphere, not light or darkness. Where was God prior to everything? He was in His glory. God was being sustained in His glory, for only glory can sustain eternality. Then how are we going to get to glory? Are you going to live eternally? You say, yes, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What atmosphere must you enter into then to have eternal life? Glorification. So we understand and see that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring Himself back into the glory that I had with Thee, Father, before the world was. And John chapter 17, and I believe it's verse 24, it says, Father, I would that they might see with me in my glory that I had with Thee before the world was created. He says, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Not just that we would stand and see at a distance Jesus Christ glorified, but that we would enter into that glory. Listen, for whom He did foreknow, them He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. And whom He predestinated, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them, same bunch, He also glorified. Your salvation is not complete until the Lord Jesus comes back and receives you unto Himself. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He then is in His eternal glory, so that we might enter into God all in all. Deep water, preacher, I'm trying to get it to you. You'll have to stop and rewind and go back and rethink and pray and meditate and ask God to help you. I'm just here to give it all to you as best I can. In a weak and a puffy humanity, sick, out direct from the sick bed, but here I am, thank God He raised me up to come and bring this unto you. The flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. So stick with me. Pray and ask God to show you these things. Ezekiel chapter 1, look at verse number 10. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion. The right side, they four had the face of an ox, and on the left side, they also had the face of an eagle. The face of a man, the book of Luke. The face of a lion, the book of Matthew, the king. The face of an ox, the book of Mark, suffering servant. The face of an eagle, the book of John, the apostle John, soaring in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. But dear soul, these are not just the four Gospels where they're all looking at the person of Christ from four different angles, but this is also you. This is you. This is the life of God within the soul and heart of man. You have the humanity of man. You are you have the face of a man. You study the book of Luke, the great physician. He'll help you with your manhood. They had the face of a lion. I've called you for to be a generation of kings and priests. The lion representing the kingdom. Study the book of Matthew. It will help you with your lion-like portion of your spirit. And they had the face of an ox, the suffering servant. God hath called us to suffer. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. What is it? Acts 14:22. And then they had the face of an eagle. That spiritual man wherein you're driving down the road, you ain't thinking about nothing else. Your mind is on autoplay, and you're driving. You don't realize what you're doing, and you have an awareness of the glory of Almighty God. Sometimes you can drive somewhere, and by the time you get there, you don't remember how you drove there. But God took care of you, and He took over your heart and consciousness, your heart's consciousness, and brought you into the awareness of God. That's your eagle man. Study the book of John. He doesn't start off with the incarnation. He starts off with, in beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Dear soul, listen, this is what it's all about. So this is God manifesting himself in human flesh. But look, if you will, to verse number 22. Ezekiel 1:22. He said, and the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on this side, and every one had two, which covered on that side. Their bodies, God will not have that naked flesh appear in his presence. With twain they covered their face, with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. So they covered over their humanity. And you as a Christian, love not the world, neither the things of the world. For he that hath the love of the world hath not the love of the Father in him. So come out from among them, and be ye separate. So you cover yourself with the wings of glory, and you appear before God in your spirituality. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, the voice of God upon the face of the deep, as the voice of the Almighty. God is speaking upon the humanity of man. The waters represent the kindred of mankind. Revelation chapter 17. I believe it's verse 15. You'll have to look it up. But dear soul, it speaks of the humanity of man, all the masses of humanity, and God's voice goes out over those waters of humanity. He comes aside. He launches out into the deep. He sees a ship, and he goes and sits in it, Mark chapter 4. And his voice comes across the waters, and he speaks to those that are on the shore beside the waters. And dear soul, it's just all in the Bible. I may be going too fast for you. You'll have to come back and listen to this again and pray and listen to it on your knees. Listen to it, dear soul, with your heart and not just your head. He began to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered to a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went forth a sower. And he tells them this parable and brings it on down. And the disciples said, why do you speak to us in parables? Why do you speak to us in parables? And the Lord Jesus said at the end of it, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And in verse number 10 of Mark 4, when he was alone, they were about him with the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said, unto you it is given to know the kingdoms of God, the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may not, they may see and not perceive. Hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And so he spoke to them in parables so that the world couldn't hear. And seeing the multitude, you say, well, boy, that's a good opportunity. A preacher wants us to preach to a multitude. This preacher didn't. The preacher of all preachers, the greatest preacher that's ever been on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he saw the multitudes, he went into a mountain. He left the multitudes. He left them healthy. He left them whole. He left them without the need of a doctor. They didn't need any prescriptions. They didn't need any medicines. They didn't need any slings to repair broken bones. They didn't need any kind of serum to cure a soured stomach or whatever. Every one of them was whole. But mankind in his lost condition, even if he's perfect in his humanity and in his health, Jesus Christ leaves them and walks away from them and goes up into a mountain, recovers himself into his heights, sitting in the heights. And that's when the disciples come unto him, and that's when he opens his mouth and taught them, saying. So we find in Ezekiel in chapter number 1. I want you to see this. In verse number 20, where were we? That's 23. And under the firmament there were their wings straight, the one toward the one another. Everyone had two which covered on this side, and everyone had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. Now listen, Ezekiel 1:26. You said, I ain't understand a word he's read. Stick with me. You got to get Ezekiel 1:26. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Above all created order, there was a pavement. The pavements up here were all of them dwelling down here. But up here on this amber pavement, on this sapphire pavement, was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. Dear soul, God has always been higher and greater than his created order. They were all here to stand, but here above it was sitting at that time the holiness and the glory of Almighty God. But thanks be to God, we read in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 1, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set here in the mountain, calling us, his disciples, to him who sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, he opens his mouth and speaks to them. Where were you last seated, Lord Jesus? Above the pavement, above my created order, sitting in my glory. Not with the visibility of humankind. It was the likeness of the appearance of man. He had yet to become incarnate. He had yet to receive his body as the Holy Spirit breathed upon that virgin womb and formed him in that womb. And he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. The likeness of the appearance of a man. What was the appearance? Verse 27, Ezekiel 1. And I saw as the color of amber and as the appearance of fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Round about within it and from the appearance of his loins even upward and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. You read the book of the Revelation, chapter number 1. It will give you the only authorized description of the person of Almighty God. The Bible says in Revelation, chapter number 1, and I turned to see the voice, verse 12. And being turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven lampstands was one like unto the Son of God, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with a paps with a golden girdle. Now listen, here in the book of the Revelation, in the New Testament, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, in the New Contract, after he has appeared in his incarnation, after he has established man's way to God. I am the way. I am the resurrection. You come to God by me. After he had opened the way, and now he's not above us in this cloudy, misunderstood, not even comprehended. We can't even read Ezekiel chapter 1 and understand it. I'm doing the best I can to reveal it to you. But dear soul, you don't need to understand Ezekiel chapter 1. You need to understand Jesus Christ. And here he is. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14. And his hair and head and his hair was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Did not Ezekiel said from his loins and upward they was like a fire? Yes, here he is. And his feet was like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. That's Revelation 1:15. And his voice as the sound of many waters. There it is. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your point, preacher? I am telling you what a wonderful thing it is to be able to read Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1 and seeing the multitudes, all of them healed. Nobody had a toothache. Nobody had a headache. There was not a single broken bone among them, not a sour stomach. There was nobody blind, nobody crippled. Everybody was healthy, but they still couldn't see Jesus. Dear soul, thanks be to God for all the medical help we have in these days. But dear soul, the thing that America needs today is to see Jesus. Say amen. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath life. So here he is, manifesting himself, glorifying himself, sitting among us. And when he was set, where were you sitting before this? High and lifted up. When in the year when King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his glory filled the temple. And I said, woe is me, for I am undone, a man of unclean lips. Dear soul, if you don't see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, if he is just a historical person, you will die with that truth in your head, with a void in your heart, and you will be separated from God forever. We need to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he is, sitting here among the disciples. Where? Separate from the multitudes. Exalted in a mountain. Going back up into a mountain. And dear soul, we must go up to hear him. One goes home from church and saying, man, I'm glad that's over. I thought that preacher never would hush. The other one sitting right beside him said, I thought I could sit and listen to that for hours. I've had people come up to me and said, preacher, oh, I hated that you stopped. It seemed like it was just such a short time. And I hear others murmuring and complaining behind my back. But these hearing aids do pretty good. I hear things you don't think I can. And I hear them say, man, I thought he would never hush. I'm starving. My stomach's growling. Let's get out here and eat something. Dear soul, it matters whether you see the glory of God or not. The letter of the law killeth. It's the spirit of the word that maketh life. Look at Ezekiel while we were there. In chapter 3, in verse 15. Here is Ezekiel now, after he's seen the vision of God high and lifted up, after he's seen the appearance as of a man above the pavement, all created order, all angels below. They couldn't go up there to where he was. Dear soul, I don't care what Jack and the Beanstalk says. We can't go up and bring the golden goose down. God has to come down. It's not, Jesus said, it's not that he that goes up to heaven, but it's the one that comes down from heaven. Jesus Christ had to come down to manifest God and his glory to us, because at one time he was far above anything that we can know. He was sitting upon the amber and the sapphire pavement above the heads of even the glorious angels. But after the prophet hears that, listen at verse number 15 of chapter 3 of Ezekiel. Verse 14, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heart, heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river of Chebar, and I sat where they sat. I thought, prophet, you just saw the glories of God. I did. But where are you now? By the rivers of Babylon, where I sat down, there we wept as we remembered Zion. Psalm 137, verse 1. Sorry, I troubled your ears by listening to that. I should have just quoted it and not tried to sing it. Listen, where did you sit? By the rivers of Babylon, where I sat down. What did you do? There I wept. Why? Because we remembered Zion. I sat where they sat. And when he was set, Jesus came and sat where you sat. Jesus came, dear soul. He didn't just sit in heaven and throw switches and move levers and save you. He came down and hands-on salvation brought you to God by his own blood, by his own breath. And the Lord God breathed into them the breath of life, and they became a living soul. God came and he manifested himself to you right where you were. You said, well, I'm living 2,000 years away from when Jesus was on the earth. I understand that. I'm living thousands of miles away from where Jesus was as far as geography is concerned. Right. You say, well, I've never been to the Holy Land. Really? Aren't you saved? The Holy Land came to you. Dear soul, I don't have to get an airplane and a boat or whatever to go to the Holy Land. I'm standing in the middle of it. God came to me. Why? Because he sat where we sat. Yes, he was in the glory. He was in a glory so high that he was above the pavement. They looked up and saw, as it were, a man upon a throne. A throne that on the throne was the likeness and the appearance of a man. But we can't see him. Why? Because he hadn't been incarnate yet. He hadn't come to where you are. But now he comes. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he came and sat where we sat. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. All points tempted. Oh, nobody's ever suffered like I do. You're lying to yourself. The devil is lying to you through your own tongue and your own mind. Jesus Christ was in all points tempted. There ain't nothing you can go through that Christ hadn't already been through before you. Listen, the first Adam was made a full-grown man. He didn't know what it was to go through all the trials and heartaches of coming from a mother's womb and coming through all of that lifestyle to grow up to the place of a full-grown man. He came here as a full-grown man. You can't have experience with the first Adam in so many things. But the last Adam came forth from a mother's womb, was shapen in his mother's womb by the Holy Spirit. He was in all points tempted like as we are, thank God, yet without sin. He came and sat where you sat. Dear soul, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. You may not be able to find a human being that has had the exact same experiences that you have. But dear soul, be sure of this. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And in the middle of that verse, God is faithful. He has been through everything that you will ever be able to go through. He was in all points tempted. He went through things you ain't never going to have to go through. Have you ever been set by the devil on a high pinnacle of the temple? No. He was. That's another place he sat. The devil taketh him and set him upon a pinnacle of the temple and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, if you'll worship me and cast yourself down, I'll give you all of these kingdoms. Sound like a pretty good deal. Why? The devil's going to give him everything without a cross. Very tempted. But Jesus said, no, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. For that's how all of my youngins are going to come home. Oh, glory to God, dear soul. You say I'm being tempted and tried and I'm being hurt and harmed and I'm so down. Dear soul, we glory in our tribulation. Why? Because that means you're on the right path. You're on the path of the Son of God. You're on the path to come to sit where he sat. And when he was set, where? Apart from the multitudes, high up in a mountain. And you're sitting in spiritual places in Christ Jesus. The thing that's wrong with us is that we don't look for Jesus in our trials. Go back and listen to Brother Mike's wonderful lesson on the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. And understand and see that you can't suffer anything that hasn't already been laid out by the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he suffered. You can find yourself in him. And when you do, it will give you great courage. And that which the devil wants to use to bring you down, God has ordained to bring you up. I don't know that any of the disciples had to be healed. I don't read where any of the disciples were blind or lame or had the palsy. They didn't have to be healed physically, but God had something better for them. When he saw the multitudes, and he had finished with healing every single one of them, there were a pile of crutches over here. There were a pile of bandages over there. There were prescription bottles thrown out in a big pile over here. All of them were completely healed. There was not a malady among them, but God wasn't finished. I sat where they sat, out of the ivory palaces, above the pavement, higher than the angels. There was the appearance of a throne, and on the throne the likeness of a man, and he was as the color of fire, and we find him described in Revelation chapter 1, 15, 16, 17, down through there, that this was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not literal fire. Our God is a consuming fire. What does that mean? He's all warmth. He's all purity. Listen, he's all glory. He burns up everything that gets in his way. He purifies everything because that fire purges everything. The three Hebrew children came out of the fire and there wasn't even the smell of smoke upon them. They were enjoying it. They had to be called out of the fire. Come forth. Why? Because there was somebody in the middle of the fire with them. He said, what does he look like? He looks like the Son of God. That's who he was. Dear soul, there is one in the midst of your trials. If you would just stop and quit whining about how bad it is for you. And I did the same thing. I'm sorry, I don't mean to belittle you. And that's not my intention. I just know the experience because I've been there. And I've done the same thing. Woe is me. Why has this happened to me? And I was cheating myself out of the thing that I needed more than anything. And that was the deliverance, not from the trial, but the deliverance in the trial. And there was the fourth man that looked like the Son of God that was in the fire with me. And if I could have found him, and when I did find him, and when I did see him, and when I understood, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. Why? Because that's where you find Jesus. I looked for him in my Bible. Brought me to a certain place. Stopped off at a certain stage. But dear soul, where did I find him completely? And he never has stopped off. It never has ceased. It continues in the fiery trials that God has presented to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, when he was set, God has come to sit. God has divested himself of the glory of the multitudes, acclamations and praises. Oh, thank you, physician. My child now can see me for the first time. My baby can look upon me and see the mother's or the daddy's face for the first time. Thank you, my son is now not a cripple. He's able to have a regular. Thank you, Mr. Preacher. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Yonder is a mountain. Where are you going? I ain't climbing up on that mountain. But you're healthy now. You're not a cripple or lame. Yep, but I got what I wanted. Dear friend, the harlot church has got what they wanted. Just a little taste of morality. But God has you the feast of righteousness. Oh, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Ain't God good? Yes. Why? Because there He sits, high and lifted up. Where's everybody going? Seeing the multitudes. He went up into a mountain. You coming with me? You coming with me, Christian? Are you a good time, Charlie? I remember when I was a boy, we had a little red wagon. And outside of our house was a hill. And this old, all of my friends liked to jump in that wagon, and we'd pile everybody in we could get and go flying down that hill. And I had the tongue. I was the one that got it. But then we had to turn around and pull it back up. Where'd they go? Nobody wants to pull it back up the hill. But dear soul, you don't get the thrill of flying down the hill in the little red wagon unless you get it up to the top of the hill. And I'm going to tell you something. God taught me a lesson through that little simplistic story, because that's how God has to deal with me. I don't know about you, but I ain't no genius. Listen, God showed me, follow me. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. And dear soul, when we are able to raise that little red wagon back up to the top of the hill, here we get the ride of our lifetime. Don't quit, dear one. Don't stop, dear one. I know it's hard. But have you ever said, why hast thou forsaken me? No. Why? Because God has never forsaken you. God forsook Jesus in order that He would never have to forsake you. Isn't that good? Oh, my soul. Listen. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. Preached in the world. Seen of angels. And where are you? Seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are. But dear soul, listen. You may be by the rivers of Babylon and sit down in the captivity of sin, but God only put you there to be able to make you understand and see. There is a calm, a sure repose in the arms of Jesus. This old you get to missing and needing and get hungry for Jesus, He'll manifest Himself to you, because it said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they, and only they, shall be filled. And I'm the bread that'll fill you. Dear soul, I know this message is scattered. We may have some more lessons from this. I don't know. God had to raise me up literally off a sick bed. Face like a bowling ball. Couldn't breathe. Eyeball turned blood red. Couldn't get my breath. Couldn't hardly walk across the floor. Didn't have enough breath. But here I am. Why? God would have a sinner who has been afflicted to bring you an understanding that the glory of God is seen in the spirit and not in the carnality of religious flesh. Oh, thank God that I was able to be with you today. But thank God more than that, that Jesus was able to be with me. May the Lord bless you. And I hope that little phrase, and seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, where were you sitting before this? I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His glory filled the temple. You left the portals of glory and came and sat down where I am to be able to bring me to where you are? Yes. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Our time is gone. Thank you for praying for me. Thank God for letting me come and bring you this. I dumped out a whole mess of stuff on you. I hope you took notes. I hope you got the scriptures. Go back and in your quiet place, sit down and do like the animals do. They bring it back up and chew the cud. What is that? They bring it back up, and all that they've swallowed down, and now they begin to chew on it and see what God will give them from it. My prayers are with you. I thank God for his goodness. May God bless you. Amen.